Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Hi.
Scott Mills.
How are you? Actually Tuesday, bonus, feels like a Monday, get in. And it's nearly home time on Tuesday. God, this just gets better, doesn't it? Thanks, Greg. Pendulum and Watercolour, and then Kasabian with Fire. I wasn't here yesterday. It was an hour? 12 hours of dance yesterday on Radio 1, followed by drum and bass in the evening. But you were working, weren't you?
I was, yes.
You were on our sister station, BBC Radio 1 Extra.
I was, with Westwood in the afternoon.
And?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. What's the worst thing that happened in the 3 hours that you were there?
I think it was probably just before the news when he timed it right but then played completely the wrong jingle, which completely crashed the start of the news.
Oh.
He's not got that quite worked out yet, has he?
That's not surely the worst thing that happened in 3 hours of Westwood.
That's quite bad.
I wasn't talking technically.
He said Roger that quite a lot.
Oh yeah, I'm getting quite a lot of emails about that today. Why?
It's his record of the week.
Oh, right. Oh, Roger that.
Yeah.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Radio 1.
Janet's been on the text.
Janet.
Well, it doesn't say Janet from Warrington. She said she was very sorry for what happened at the gig on Friday.
Oh, dear.
And she says sorry, but I think she's probably forgotten what she's done.
Oh, I've just seen that. She's got the slight paranoia of what did I do on Friday night. I've seen it. Look, thanks for not having me thrown out. Love, Janet, off of Warrington.
What on earth did she do?
I was doing a little gig for a new kind of clothes website on Friday night in Warrington. And Janet was there. And
Were you modelling?
No, God, no. No one wants to see that.
I did wonder.
Just playing some music. Janet was there and she was right at the front and, well...
So?
She's just a bit touchy-feely, that's all. Janet, it's fine. There was no point where I was going to ask to have you thrown out.
Were you enjoying it too much?
I wouldn't say that either. But Janet thinks... I think Janet's got that thing where she doesn't quite remember and she thinks it's a lot worse than it actually was. So let's enjoy that for a moment. Janet, you were absolutely terrible to me. So, Richard Armitage off of Spooks and a brand new show which looks amazing on Sky One called Strike Back is going to be here just after 4:30 this afternoon. He's here already. Thought there was going to be traffic. Wasn't any. He's early. Just so I fill you in all the details. It's 4:22. Rihanna's new track is coming next. Now, did anybody see this Channel 4 show last night? You might have seen my Twitter about it if you're on Twitter. I was obviously watching Channel 4 plus 1, so it was on 11 o'clock for me. And they were in Tonga, which is one of the islands. Is it near New Zealand? Ish.
Is it a specific island? I can never remember.
It's an island, and it's called Tonga.
I meant, is it in the specific?
Oh, is it in the Pacific?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember a while ago, we got an idea of a recipe from, I think it was Super Size versus Super Skinny, where the Super Size bloke, what he used to eat quite a lot, was a melted cheese, mayonnaise, and a sausage roll in a white bap. So it was like a sausage roll. And we tried them on the show, and in moderation... Really, very tasty.
No, very tasty all the time, but advised to only eat in moderation.
I would only eat them occasionally. Now, last night on the show featuring the people of Tonga, they showed a typical Tongan breakfast, that's what they called it. And, well, they started off as a kind of starter for the breakfast with this.
But first, a traditional Tongan breakfast.
Ice cream sandwich?
Ice cream.
And your loaf?
It's 9 in the morning.
And you're
fainting. So it's 9 a.m. and they start off by eating an ice cream sandwich. That's just a starter. They didn't look that nice, actually.
How is it?
It's wrong in every way.
Yeah. And
and at that point, when someone says it's wrong in every way, my ears prick up.
It wasn't even 10 o'clock, and I'd already had over half my recommended daily calorie intake.
Yep.
That's just an average day in my house.
This one yesterday, after the ice cream sandwich, they tucked into some Fanta bread.
What's Fanta bread?
I'll explain what this is in a minute. This, you know, you think to the on these shows, you think, who came up with this idea in the first place? This is a puzzling thing. Who came up with the idea of getting some white bread, for instance, like the white bread I have here?
Right.
Okay.
I love it that you've got it to hand.
And
you've gone for a crusty baguette.
Pouring some Fanta, scooping some of the bread out first, pouring some
filling
Fanta.
It with orangeade.
In the, or orangeade, as you put it, in the bread. Scooping it out and then drinking the Fanta from the bread and then eating the rest of the orangeade soaked bread with a spoon.
Do you not just get loads of soggy orange bread?
Yeah, but they love it in Tonga. Now, all the Twitter messages I was getting were going, that's disgusting, the most vile thing I've ever seen. Yeah, but didn't a part of you want to try it? Just a little bit. Just to see what the taste sensation is like. So, in a minute, I'm going to have a go, because I've got my... I've gone a bit continental. I hope you don't mind, Tongans, because they just had, like, a big white unsliced loaf. I'm just going for a baguette. With
makes
the orange.
Makes it slightly healthier.
Makes it a lot healthier. Are we ready to do this now? I'm just going to have a go. Okay. We're filming this.
Have you got some protective sheeting on the floor?
Yes, I have. So, first of all...
What have you done with the bread you scooped out? Have you eaten that as well?
I've just put it on the plastic sheeting. So, here we go. So just simply pour the Fanta into the baguette.
Oh, it's all bubbling over the top.
Okay.
Now you drink.
I'm just taking tips from the Channel 4 show. Now, see
oh,
there?
It's leaking it's, out the bottom.
Yeah, only a little bit. Now you drink the Fanta. There's some little bread bits in there. See?
Croutons.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Does it taste any different or is it just orangey?
There's some bread in there.
And how are you feeling it?
Oh, disgusting.
Okay, now don't be sick because I'll get scared and have to run away.
And then, now the bread is soaked in the orangeade, you eat the bread.
Loving it? Your face is saying otherwise. You've got that grimace on.
Oh.
What does it taste of? Give it here, I want to go.
Do you want to try?
Yeah. Not the bit you've touched. Come
around here. Oh. Well, get a bit more orangeade on there first.
Whoa! No, you've drenched it! I can't do it.
Eat it.
I love it! It's so good!
Right, the only reason I wanted to do this is because I knew you would go, I love it. And you do.
It looks disgusting, but it tastes amazing.
Mm-hmm. As predicted. Radio 1 Podcasts. Radio 1 Podcasts. You're listening to BBC Radio 1 with Scott Mills, and Richard Armitage is here. Hello.
Hey, Scott, how are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. It'd be rude of me not to offer you some orangeade bread before we continue the interview.
Go on then, pass it over.
Oh, no, are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you need the protective sheet on the floor
right.
In case you're
how many
drip.
People have had a go at this?
Well...
Just me and Scott
three.
So far. Right.
Me and Becky and everyone in Tonga.
I can take it.
Okay. All right. Have a go. See what you think. If you don't like it, I won't be offended.
People.
Oh no!
That was
sorry, that is rank. I can't bear it. That's
no?
Nasty.
Describe
no.
What happened in your
that's,
mouth.
Kind of mushy and slightly fizzy and dirty.
Becky quite liked it.
Mm. Yeah.
There we are. A lot of people incredibly excited that you're here today. Even the theme to this show, you know the show I mean, causes a lot of excitement in the office here at Radio 1. This one. Little kind of, I love it. Now, you've got a new show as well, which we'll talk about in a minute, which starts tomorrow on Sky One.
Yeah.
You do have a lot of fans that are ladies, don't you?
Yeah. Oh.
And what are they called?
Both of them.
No, there's a special name for them, isn't there?
Oh, the Armitage Army. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, there's lots
that.
Of them.
I only found this out today, the Armitage Army.
Yeah.
Now, with that, I'm not going to be rude to these people, because they're lovely, obviously. A lot of people have been in touch with me today from the Army.
Yeah.
And the ones I've got in touch, they're all of a certain age.
Yeah. Have they been texting in about the Fanta bread?
No, just been on Twitter and stuff.
Right, yeah.
What's the average age of your fans, would you say?
I think one of them is about 25 and the other one's about 35, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, the ones just on Twitter just seem a bit older than
okay.
that.
Okay, so, yeah.
Anyway, no offence to the Armitage Army. I know they're all listening now. Is it true that they throw pants at you?
Pans?
Pants.
No.
Pan.
Yeah.
I'd like it if they just threw saucepans.
Saucepans. No pants have ever come in my direction.
Oh, see, that must be false. that rumour that we heard.
Oh, I read in an interview, because I was doing some research upstairs, that you were doing an interview with some guy from a newspaper and some pants flew at the window, but maybe he was just talking metaphorically.
Yeah, I think he was. Right. I've got pants in the post.
Oh, have you?
They were pants for me, not someone else's pants.
Oh, right.
You've had pants sent to you, haven't you, Scott?
I have, actually, yeah. There was a time where...
It's Kevin that sends you the pants.
Yeah, once a month I get a new pair.
A new pair of pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of took it as, but they thought my work was pants, but...
Oh, no. Yeah. It wouldn't be that. But, like, so it wasn't a fan sending you them?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, it was, right.
Do you wear them, or...?
I'm wearing them now.
Yeah. Okay, good. Which of your roles do you think
you don't know what I'm here for now. You were looking at that, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've lost your track. Go on.
This is the pant thing. Which of your roles do you think people find you most attractive for?
I don't know. Maybe John Thornton, North and South. It was a bit of a romantic piece. Mm. You know, there was a bit of a kiss at a railway station at the end, and I think that probably did it.
See, we've got another theory. We think it's going to be your Robin Hood character, Guy Gisborne, because... Girls like kebab boy, don't they?
Girls like kebab boy, yeah. Hey. You're right. They do. But they didn't see me at the Birmingham Rep as a dancing banana.
No.
That would have done it. Seriously.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. That's not on your sheet, is it?
No.
No.
What's that?
Yeah.
That
was we only had in pub and smug man at party.
No, one of my first jobs as Sophia Miles will testify was at the Birmingham Rep, and I played a dancing banana in a Faye Weldon play. So,
amazing.
Yeah, find the pictures for that one.
Google that.
I'll just go on Armitage Army.
Go on, do
it. Yeah, definitely.
They'll have the costume and everything.
No, but to say that Guy from Robin Hood has absolutely no redeeming features at all, does he?
He does, under the leather.
Right.
There's a redeeming feature.
Is there?
Yeah.
But...
He's soft on the inside.
Yeah, but they...
You see, that's why girls like bad boys, is because they think that they'll be nasty to everyone apart from them, and just them they'll protect.
You can tame them.
Yeah.
No, really not. Everyone's like, oh, he's so hot. But he just murdered that woman.
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
Yeah. But there's something about him. You know what I mean? Let's talk about your new show on Sky One, which starts tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
Tell us a bit more about it.
I play John Porter. It's Chris Ryan's creation, the novel Strike Back. I play John Porter, who's an SAS... operative who kind of makes a decision not to kill a suicide bomber, and that has a bad effect on the rest of his life. He loses his family and his kids, and he kind of goes on a journey of redemption.
Okay. And like I said, starts somewhere at 9 o'clock on Sky One.
Sky One, and it's a double episode, so you can see the first episode and second episode back to back.
Very good. Are you in HD?
We are in HD, unfortunately.
Yeah. You're not a fan of that?
Well, no, it looks great, but the face in HD is scary, isn't it? Come on.
It's like when you can see the nose hairs of the umpires when you're watching Wimbledon. Yeah. That's when I think it's a bit too far.
That scene in 50 Rock where they put the girl into HD, it's exactly that.
Yeah.
Warts and nose hair and everything.
It's all HD, 3D, yeah. HD, 3D now, isn't it?
Can you imagine 3D, me in your living room in 3D? Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe you'll like hold a hand out on purpose.
I'm back.
You must have to train so hard for these roles, like particularly this new one.
Yeah, this was pretty tough. I worked with a trainer in the UK and three SAS guys in South Africa, so it was a physical experience for me, the whole thing. So
it's not just a few star jumps, is it?
Not really.
No. What do they make you do? Do they shout?
They shout at you and make you run around the park with a stick until you're sick, and strip down weapons and reassemble them and try and come through a door without coming through the door.
I can't even do 10 push-ups, do you know what I mean? That sounds quite hard. When you say that with a stick, what do you mean?
Well, I had to run around a park with a stick that was the size and weight of a gun, just to sort of get used to running with a gun. So,
how many hours a day would you have to do that?
Two or three. Lots of changing direction and sort of, a few star jumps.
Right. Just to warm up.
Yeah, just one or two.
We're told that John Porter is like he's going to be like the British Jack Bauer. Being told that because everyone likes 24, or is it actually true?
I think it's probably because it is a bit like 24. I, believe it or not, haven't seen 24, very much of it. I've seen one, I think. Mm. So it's quite. I think that's probably a good thing because I don't really know how to compare it. But I think the one-man mission aspect of it is, and the scale of Strike Back, although there's only six episodes, I think there's something kind of cinematic about it which makes people feel
it looks like a movie. Incredible.
Yeah, like three movies. So.
How long did that kind of thing take to make?
It took us about 16 weeks. In all, because we started in South Africa and we went up to Namibia and kind of got all the landscapes on film, And then there's a lot of post-production as well, because we shot on 35mm and then it has to be translated into HD. So it was quite a big journey, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Like we were saying about the training, we had Gerard Butler in recently. We have him in quite a lot. And when he's doing just a romantic comedy, yeah. He comes in here, he has a cake, or 10 cakes. He doesn't care, he loves a cake. But if he's got to do a tough guy role, like the last time he was in, oh my God, what did he look like?
He was so buff.
Incredible. Yeah. He won't touch a thing. He just won't eat
What coffee did you have to get me? It was a soy latte, wasn't it? You see?
Yeah. Think about it. Yeah. Are you in training right now?
Yeah, all the time. I'm actually doing sit-ups at this moment.
Right.
You can't see, but I'm...
But
I'm
won't the Fanta bread have ruined
That's
all your
That's why he's
work.
About it out, it's you not, see.
Oh, right.
Secretly, he loved it, but he couldn't eat it so for diet reasons.
You actually liked the Fanta bread, but you spat it out. Now, that is dedication.
I'm actually looking at it now, thinking of maybe putting it back in.
Don't do that, please. It looks much more attractive on the floor, doesn't it?
Yeah, on the plastic sheet. Lovely.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Richard Armitage is with us. A new show called Strike Back tomorrow on Sky One. And it's an HD. It's all over Sky One at the moment, isn't it? It's their priority, obviously.
It is, yeah. It's big
huge.
News for them, yeah.
Big news. Like, normally, it's like trailer for Strike Back, then someone offering you some cash for gold or something, then Strike Back, then you can buy a sofa, then Strike Back again.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
That's good. That's our audience, though.
It's on all the time. That must be a bit of pressure.
I kind of knew that from the beginning, that, you know, they're taking big risk with me. So I kind of tried to, you know, do my best and...
Not really taking a risk, are they?
Well, it is a bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Handing the show to, you know...
Just you.
Just me. Kind of, here you go, do some sit-ups and then go in South Africa and film, so...
Yeah. One of our listeners, Sam, wakes up, draws the curtains every morning. Oh, it's a nice day.
Yeah.
And,
her face.
It's your face. Yeah, massive your face. Yeah. Like the billboard is right outside her house.
Getting into her bedroom window.
That's
nice.
A bit strange, isn't it?
No, that's not good, is it?
Have you ever been... That must have happened to you quite a lot, because they are everywhere. You're just like, oh, it's me again.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of look the other way now. But it's good, because they're kind of eye-catching, and it's doing the job, and you know the show's out there, don't you?
It's just like you times 100.
100, yeah. They did offer me one of the posters, but I just can't fit it anywhere.
Where are you going to put that?
Exactly.
They are huge.
Yeah.
Like, how big's your house?
Not that big.
No.
Much smaller.
What are they thinking?
Yeah.
Do you get picture approval of things like that? Because obviously you don't want... If your face is that big and you're going to be, like, you know, on the M4 or something...
Yeah, I funnily enough, I did for this. And one of the things I really was concerned about, I didn't want to have a massive picture of me like that holding a gun. That was really important to me, because I feel like this show is about more than that. I did on this.
Okay. Because you don't want a really bad photo. It's going to be there.
Holding a Fanta bread.
That
would be really bad.
Spitting it out. Yeah. Even worse. Because they also, long after the show's finished, those billboards sometimes stay there for ages, don't they?
Yeah, you can look forward to sort of pieces of me gradually being torn away. I might have a go at it myself.
Right, we should talk about spooks, really.
Yeah.
Because I know this is, you're just saying, this is your day off.
It's my day off.
You're one day off.
Back tomorrow.
So you're in the middle of filming at the moment.
Yeah, halfway through series 9.
Okay. Wow. And that looks a lot of fun, doing that show.
It is. It's crazy. And because the scripts change as we speak them, and after sometimes, it keeps you on your toes.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah, you get rewrites.
You're making it up, like Lost.
No, after you've shot a scene, they'll sometimes give you a rewrite, and you think, hang on, we've just shot this, and it's because they're kind of rejigging the show
all the time,
keeping it really, really fresh. So it,
I've
certainly changed as an actor, having done spooks. I'll never be the same again.
Right. Wow. Do you feel, I'm sorry for all the spy questions, but we're excited by this. Do you feel when you're doing it like you're actually being a real spy?
Yeah.
Yeah. So exciting. Is it realistic, do you think? I mean, do you speak to proper spies to try and get an idea of... You know, like, if you were going to be a hairdresser...
I didn't speak to a proper spy.
I know. But if you were going to be a hairdresser, you'd go and be one for a while, like shadow them or something.
Yeah.
Does that happen?
Well, you can't find them. Because they're so elusive.
Because they're spies.
You try to find spies and you just can't find them anywhere.
Right. But, so you just make it up and hope that that's what being a spy is like?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've all kind of worked with researchers. But sometimes, you know, when they're trying to develop a new idea for spooks, a new piece of technology, that a real spy would go, no way, that would never happen. They don't want to hear that. So, so you do kind of engage quite a big portion of your imagination and then try and make it as believable as possible.
I went to, there's a shop in London. Have you ever been to that spy shop?
Yeah, it's on Park Lane, isn't it?
And yeah. I went there the other day. Have you been there?
You really are obsessed. What are you bugging
what did
us
you
with
get?
Now?
I didn't buy
the office.
I didn't
get
buy
a decoder.
Yes, I bugged you. I know, that's
I think
so good.
That sort of thing's illegal.
But that's the kind of thing that you see and you're like, oh God, they actually exist. You know, like little, yeah, pens with bugs in and stuff.
Yeah.
It's so good. Have you not been there?
No.
It's incredible. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing you
that's
get to...
That's probably where we get most of our props.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good.
I think it must be hard work being a spy, though, because you never see on Spooks, like, they never go home, they never eat anything, they don't have any hobbies.
No.
Like, what does Lucas do in his spare time?
He hides under the covers.
But well, I'd quite like to see a bit more of Lucas. Like, you know, if he's got a stamp collection, then show us occasionally.
Reveal it.
You know?
Yeah.
If you've got... If he is a fan of the Model Railway, then we want to see that. It's all very well, this spy stuff, but where's the other side of Lucas? Ooh. Maybe you could put that... Oh, you're nearly finished now, haven't you? Season
well,
nine.
You know what? This year, they do kind of turn him inside out a bit. They peel back some layers and he isn't who you think he is.
Oh, really?
He's somebody else.
Is that a plot
somebody
spoiler?
Else entirely.
God.
Yeah, it is. Bit of a spoiler there.
Hmm. Is he addicted to World of Warcraft or something? Is that what it is?
World of Warcraft? Mm.
No?
I don't think so.
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
He's not giving anything
He's
away.
Not then, is he? No. We were saying earlier, Spooks is really good at killing people off when you least expect it.
Yeah.
Are you going to die in this series?
Well,
okay, thanks.
I have...
What? I just thought I'd, if I slipped it in really quickly after you said that...
I was building up to that.
He might not notice and then we just get the real answer. Now you've drawn attention to it. Now
my next bit was it could happen any time, Richard. It's not just at the end of the series on Spooks. It can just be like, oh, here I am in episode two. Bye-bye now.
Yeah, I mean, we do kind of have little bets with each other because you could, if you wanted to, just keel over and refuse to get up while they're filming.
Are you trying to get in there before they do it to you?
Exactly. Exactly. Start choking in the middle of the scene and then there's no escape. But I've kind of said, do with it what you will and surprise me. So I quite like the idea of opening a script and finding that I'm...
5 minutes before.
Decapitated, yeah. But because normally they bring you into the office and warn you, but I've kind of said, no, don't warn me, just write it.
Really?
How exciting is that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So it could happen at any time.
It could happen at any moment.
And...
Obviously not now, at this moment in time.
Now,
yeah.
But
well, you never know. Fingers crossed. That Fanta bread.
That was the last they heard of Richard and played Lucas. So, between finding out on the script, which is what you've requested, and actually filming it, how long would that be?
Within 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you get a script and then within 2 weeks you've pretty much shot it.
So it's got a bit of time to sink in.
Yeah.
That you're leaving.
A couple of hours to work out how you're going to go. Yeah.
Thanks for coming in today. I've got some listeners' questions as well.
Go on then.
Sarah wants to know how long it took to put those tattoos on in Spooks because they look very complicated.
We've got it down to about 2 hours.
What do you do?
You just have to sit there while five people kind of cover you in transfer.
Do you listen to music or what happens?
No, you just fall asleep.
Do you go to sleep?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Stace wants to know what was it like working with Lily Allen's dad, Keith?
Wicked. Truly wicked.
Okay.
He's hilarious.
Were you sad when they said they were finishing Robin Hood from Harriet?
Yeah, it was terrible. It was a real shame. Yeah, it should have gone on. They should have got 5 series out of it, but there you go, never mind.
Okay. And finally, do you think the blonde girl who was in Spooks now looks better with longer hair? And that's from Chappers, who used to work on this show.
Who are they talking about?
Oh, God, I've forgotten her name.
Oh.
She was in Single Married Other
recently.
Oh,
yeah, Miranda.
Yes.
I think she looked good with this shaved head. I thought she looked wicked.
They are Chappers. Thanks for tweeting
me.
Richard, it's been a pleasure. Make sure you watch Strike Back tomorrow on Sky One. And thank you very much for coming in today.
Cheers, Scott.
Sorry about the Fanta bread.
No problem.
Podcast.
And now, the return of Carol on Ow!
What's occurring?
Hi, love.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right. What's occurring?
Not much, thanks. How are you?
It's
been good.
Yeah, weekend was all right for you.
Yes, very good, thank you.
What'd you do?
I saw some friends, did some revision, just general fun stuff.
Okay. Did you do some baking?
Yes, I did.
What?
I made peach and raspberry crumbles for my friends.
Amazing. Have you tried orangeade bread yet?
No.
God, my chair is really making a noise today. Sorry. You need to try it, it's really lush.
It sounds foul.
It's not. It's really nice. Try it.
Okay, I will try it.
You've got to wait. It's a bit like...
Don't have it when it's still fizzy, otherwise you kind of go...
You need to wait for the kind of for the fantasy.
Wait for it to go soggy.
Just to kind of just to get into the bread a bit more, and it's really nice.
Till it looks like you really wouldn't want to eat it, then go for it.
I will give it a go.
Okay, we're going to play the game. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's go.
Oh, what's the curtain?
First one. What day is it, Carol?
Tuesday.
What day is it, Becky?
Tuesday, she said it. But if you asked me earlier, I would have said Monday. I wrote Monday on my to-do list.
Everyone thinks it's Monday because of the bank holiday. There was someone on earlier who took all their Monday books into school today. See, it's easy to do that. But do the people of Stupid Street even know what day it is? We are seven of them on Stupid Street. How many of those seven people earlier today would actually know that it's Tuesday? Carol?
Three.
Carol says three people. The others get caught out. Becky?
None
on Stupid Street. Let's find out. Hooray, it's the return of Smooth Talking Dan. Talking to the babes of Stupid Street and asking them what day it is. They love it.
What's your name?
Arian. I'm Norwegian.
What day is it today again?
Monday.
Is it? What's your name?
Richard. Is that it?
No, one more. What day is it today again?
What day?
Yeah.
Tuesday.
Well done. Cheers. Slightly odd look. What's your name?
Bernard.
What's your favourite item of clothing, would you say?
Shirt.
Shirt, okay, good choice. What day is it today again?
Monday.
Is it?
No.
What is your favourite type of, like, stair? Like normal stairs or like spiral stairs?
Oh, stair, I thought you meant as in the look of a stair.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to say. So.
Spiral staircase.
They are good, aren't they? What day is it today again?
Tuesday. You're setting me up for something, aren't you?
Oh, well done. What's your name?
Sarah.
What's your favourite colour?
I don't know. Blue?
Okay. What day is it today again?
Monday.
What's your name?
Oliver.
What day is it today, actually, again?
It is Wednesday?
Not sure. Hey, what's your name?
Alice.
What do you prefer, zips or buttons?
Always zips.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Always zips.
What day is it today, again, actually?
Oh, my God, what day is it? Wednesday.
Oh. Stupid Street are actually in the future. Like Australia. And New Zealand. And Japan. So, there were two people there that knew what day it was. A lot of people thought it was Wednesday. Some people got caught out by Monday, which is what we thought. I did like Smooth Talking Dan's question there on this one.
What is your favourite type of, like, stair?
Oh! What's the curtain?
Spiral or...
I thought he was going to ask, like, Magnum or Blue Steel, not, like, actual stairs.
No. Okay, Carol has got a point for that.
Yay.
Yeah, Westwood was on One Extra yesterday.
Oh no, what have you got from this?
Westwood is on BBC Radio One Extra every afternoon at 4 o'clock with extra hip-hop and extra R&B.
That's what it was yesterday.
Well, you were on, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in charge.
Now, a lot of people have been on saying that they were listening, and Roger that was being said a lot by Westwood.
Yeah, do you know what? I think he's a taxi driver or some kind of CB specialist in his spare time.
He's got a new walkie-talkie.
Do you know what? He said it so much. By the end, I was like, Tim, come on.
Roger,
I called
that.
Him Tim when I was being like trying to tell him off.
When you tell him off, yeah. Tim.
It's like Westwood. I turned it to his mum. I was like, now, come on, Tim. We can't
have this. You can do better than that, Tim.
Would you please stop saying Roger that?
Roger that. Do you think he was one of those people with power at gigs? You know, like you see them, like, Roger that. When they, do you know what I mean? The
people who work in TV, who have the headset and clipboard.
Those.
Loving them.
I love them. I've always wanted one of those. Those headsets. Anyway, it's a simple question. Yesterday, with Becky in charge, on BBC Radio 1 Extra. How many times did Westwood say, Roger that, Becky?
136.
Oh, like that was it. Carol?
46.
Let's find out.
Oh!
Roger that. It's Westwood on BBC Radio 1 Extra yesterday.
Can we just make some noise as we welcome Becky? Roger that. What is the name of this record?
Roger that.
Okay, Roger that. And every time you say Roger that, Roger that, Roger that, Becky, Roger that, Becky, I'll Roger that, I'll Roger that, I'm Rogering that, Becky, Roger, take that, Roger that. Roger that, Becky. Roger that, Becky.
No, thanks.
Oh, Roger that. Oh, Roger that. Roger that. As promised, I am getting some Becky on a bank holiday Monday, and I love that. Roger that.
What's going on?
18 times I just counted.
Mm-hmm. 18, Roger that.
Do you know what? In the studio, it felt so much more than that.
It always does. Carol gets another point. Roger that.
Oh. What's occurring?
I don't think it helped that every time he said it, I laughed. I think that just kind of encouraged him. Because although I was trying to tell him off for doing it, the fact that every time he said it, it made me laugh, that's kind of a bit of a contradiction.
Yeah.
It doesn't really work when you're trying to have a go at someone.
Right, next. Carol, are you on the Sunday Times Rich list this year?
No, I wish.
Yeah, Becky?
I wish.
I was on 04, 07 and 08, I think, but I've been knocked off the last couple of years.
I'm number 652.
Are you?
Yeah. This is our new game, which is called Richer or Poorer, right? So this is the idea. I give you the name of somebody, you tell me if they're richer or poorer than the last person according to the Sunday Times Rich List, OK? So just tell me if they're richer or poorer than the last person. You ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. We start with Roman Abramovich, who has £7.4 billion. Next person. Jamie Oliver. Is he richer or poorer than Roman Abramovich, Carol?
Poorer.
Becky?
Poorer.
You both get a point. He is poorer. £65 million he's got, which is not poor,
that's
per
rubbish,
se.
That's rubbish, though, compared to Abramovich.
That is quite rubbish. What are you doing, Oliver? Pull your socks up.
Has he got £65 million? My God. That's a lot.
Is that more than you?
It's ridiculous amount of money. He does some cooking.
But he's good at it, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but like, how good can he be at cooking? £65 million.
People need to eat.
No, but God.
Do you think it's the cookbooks that does it?
Yeah, and the restaurants and all the other stuff.
Oh, the restaurants would have pushed it up a bit. Okay, next one. Rowan Atkinson, off of acting, richer or poorer than Jamie Oliver? Carol?
Richer?
Becky?
Poorer.
You think that Rowan Atkinson is poorer than Jamie Oliver?
Yeah.
Carol gets the point.
What?
He's £5 million richer than Jamie Oliver.
OMG.
Yeah, that's what you get for doing Mr. Bean. Now that I can understand.
He doesn't even speak in it.
Well. Right, next one. Gary Barlow. Is he richer or poorer than Rowan Atkinson?
Richer.
Carol.
Richer.
No points. He's got a measly 35 million. Rubbish, Barlow. What are you doing? God, Mr. Bean's got more money than the bloke that wrote Back for Good.
I know, he was the one that wrote all the songs as well, didn't he?
35 million. Should try harder. And next. James Dyson off of the vacuum cleaner. Richer or poorer than Gary Barlow? He just invented a vacuum cleaner. Remember, Barlow wrote all the hits for Take That. Carol.
Massively richer.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Becky?
Poorer.
Funnily enough, the bloke who invented the vacuum cleaner, Dyson one, is richer than Gary Barlow. He's got £920 million.
Oh, did you just take the bag out?
I know. No bag, 920 million.
I could have done that.
Imagine how...
I don't like doing it, but I could have done it.
Imagine how Barlow feels.
Poor Gary.
Poor Gary. Next one. J.K. Rowling off of Authors. Richer or poorer than James Dyson off of No Bags Vacuum Cleaners? Becky?
Richer.
So you think that J.K. Rowling is richer...
Because you can have more Harry Potter books than you need vacuums, can't you? You only need one vacuum, but you need all of the Potter books.
I love your logic. What are you saying?
She's thought that one through before she started writing them.
What are you saying, Carol?
Poorer, I hope.
J.K. Rowling is poorer than James Dyson. Oh. She's only got...
That's because people get them at the library. I didn't even think...
That's true.
I did not even think of that.
Got to think about it before you just say your answer willy-nilly.
God, I was being so clever.
Well, it says here, I think someone's missed off on something because it says, J.K. Rowling, richer or poorer than James Dyson? And it says, answer, poorer, £519. Now, I think she's probably made more money than that for doing all them books. I'm going to put 519 and I'm going to write million on the end. Because it must be, right? It's not £519, is it? Okay, good. So, yeah, she'd still be poor anyway, whatever. So, that means that by a long way, Carol has won today's Oh, What's Occurring and is coming back on tomorrow, if that's all right with you.
Yes, please.
I'd love you. Speak to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Oh, what's occurring?
Right, are you going to someone's wedding soon, are you? Really is wedding season at the moment. Loads of people getting married. We have got the perfect gift here that you can give them. Ideal present for anyone, really, who's getting married. People do those wedding lists, don't they?
Mm.
Annoying. I like to always get them something not on the list as a surprise.
It's their day, and they've put a list together of everything that they really
want. Who are you to tell me what I'm going to buy you? I know you're getting married, but... Get lost, I'd buy whatever I want.
And that, we know it's going to be good, just from that.
Anyway, this present, am I right in saying, Becky, is for you if your partner does something in the bedroom that you really don't like them doing. Is that right? Would that be accurate?
I guess you could put it like that. Yeah.
Here it is.
It's the problem in the marriage bed that no one likes to talk about. Maybe that's why they call it silent but deadly.
Oh, God. Silent but deadly. It's the problem in the bedroom that everyone's talking about. Are you talking about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now there's a real solution to a very real problem. Introducing the Better Marriage Blanket. On the outside, the Better Marriage Blanket looks and feels just like a soft, warm comforter. But on the inside, it contains a layer of activated carbon fabric, the same type of fabric used by the military to protect against chemical weapons.
So this is the Better Marriage Blanket. So if you're just getting married and, you know... You're going to have to sleep with them every night now for the rest of your life. So you might as well get the same fabric that they use in chemical warfare.
The same type of fabric used by the military to protect against chemical weapons.
That's what I want in a mattress.
Do you need it?
I don't know, because I... What, for me, do you mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I'm asleep.
Flatulence molecules easily pass through the cotton shell and are harmlessly absorbed into the layer of carbon fabric. Even when used on top of bed sheets, offending molecules are absorbed before anyone knows they're there.
That's amazing.
But you do, and I think it's a good concept.
I have woken myself up before doing that.
So have I. That's really bad.
So actually, I probably do need it.
And then it's really bad.
That was chemical warfare, though, I have to say, on that particular occasion. Anyway, so If you are getting married, what?
Someone I know woke up to someone that they were sharing a room with waving, like, you know, if you light a match, you can get rid of the smell of it sometimes. They were waving a match. And the person that they were sharing the bed with was waving the match around the room, kind of going, oh, and they were like, what's going on? And it was that bad.
Well, like you do when a dog lets one off. That's attractive. Was this someone I'd known for a while or just that night?
I don't know. I didn't like to ask anymore.
It's brilliant, isn't it, when you wake up and someone's waving a match round?
This, don't you end up, like, after a few months, you've just got one big piece of farty fabric.
So whether you or your spouse suffers from a health issue or just the occasional disagreeable meal, you owe it to your marriage to try the Better Marriage Blanket.
How does that... Yeah, you're right. Surely, does it just trap it in there?
Yeah, imagine taking that to the dry cleaner.
Oh, because it's got the flatulence molecules.
Or when you go to make the bed, it's just going to, like, waft everywhere.
Oh, no. Every time you make the bed.
Yeah.
It makes a great wedding gift or anniversary gift, too.
Does it, though?
Right, okay. Giving it as a wedding gift is one thing. Imagine if you've, like, been going out with someone and you think it's really romantic, like, fifth anniversary or whatever, and then they give you a booming...
No.
Fart duvet.
The same type of fabric used by the military to protect against chemical weapons. Flatulence molecules easily pass through the cotton shell and are harmlessly absorbed into the layer of carbon fabric. Even when used on top of bed sheets, offending molecules are absorbed before anyone knows they're there.
How can the flatulence molecules just... I don't know. Is anyone good at...
A lot of people are saying, why would you want all your trumps stored in your duvet?
Yeah, it's like storing them up.
Just open the window.
Open the window and get rid. Wow. Anyway, do they sell them as pants? Luke wants to know. Right.
So who's getting that? You didn't say which of your friends you were buying this for.
I'm not going to say.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Well, you know when it's, like, someone's birthday and you go out for a meal with some mates to celebrate?
Mm.
I want to take someone who doesn't know about this for their birthday to this restaurant I've heard about, okay?
Don't tell me and then you can take me for my birthday.
Well, that's the thing. So I'm just thinking maybe talking about it on Radio 1 maybe isn't the best thing to do, but never mind, eh? I just want to share this with you, okay? So, normally what happens is you go in and... You know, someone says, yeah, it's my mate's birthday, because you know, and they bring out a cake, or, you know, they'll all come to the table at a random time and go, happy birthday to you. Or like that one that you can find on retail parks, they just play Congratulations by Cliff Richard all the time.
Oh, we went in there for dinner the other night, yeah. And it was about 8 times in about an hour and a half.
My mate Gary from Basildon was in there with his mum on Friday night, and they played it 16 times.
Do you know what I think? Statistically, you can't have that many people all of the same birthday in one place.
People have birthdays in Basildon.
Yeah, but the chances of them all being in that one restaurant on the same night? No.
Yeah, and if it's not your birthday and you are just there with your mum having, I don't know, profiteroles, like, congratulations, it gets old.
Do they ask for proof? I know we're going a bit off subject, but do you need to prove that it's your birthday, or do you just get the music and all the fuss made over you just for nothing?
I think you'd get the fuss. They don't check.
I might try it next week.
They don't check your passport or anything, do they?
I don't know, they might not want
to. Can I see your driving licence, please? Anyway, so there's this pizza place in London, okay, where you all go in. And someone tips off the waiter as you go in, you know, it's that, let's say it's your birthday. Yeah, it's Becky's birthday, so if you could just do what you do. Okay, it's an Italian place. And then at some point during the meal, nobody knows when, and obviously the person whose birthday it is doesn't know about this at all, what they do is one waiter comes up behind you, unannounced, and...
Is that it?
No.
Oh, right.
So the waiter...
That's a birthday treat.
The waiter comes behind the person with a full pizza dough, and then wraps it around their face from behind. And then two other waiters wave their hands in the air. So you've got, like, a dough face. So you've got a massive... You can't, like... You obviously have to try... Like, there's panic.
Do they cut a mouth hole for you?
I don't think they do, no. Is that... It's only for, like, a couple of seconds.
But well, that could be enough in some cases.
But the shock and surprise is incredible. Because there's one person with a massive pizza dough around your head. And then someone holding your hands up going... Bloo, 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 bloo. And they call it dough face. And that happens when it's your birthday. That would shock you if you didn't know it was coming. Yeah. So that's what I want to do. Next time it's someone's birthday, I want to take them so they can get dough face. Do you want to go?
I normally just get the all-you-can-eat buffet in those places.
One that doesn't speak wants to be dough face. Do you next time? Your birthday's coming up, isn't it? But then you know about it
now.
Oh,
he doesn't like to talk about it. But he doesn't know which pizza place, so you could take him to another one and...
Oh, well, that'll be... Like, when have we ever been to a pizza place? Oh, should we just go to a pizza place for your birthday? Would you like that? Oh, OK, then what's going to happen? I think he might have sussed
Why don't we take it for a Chinese in Durham anyway?
Yeah, good one. Why would they have pizza dough in it? Oh, anyway.
We can take it with us.
We'll work it out. I just like the idea of they wave your hand at the same time as when it's around your face. Pretty good.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Apparently, there's somewhere, there's a Japanese restaurant in Leeds, when it's your birthday, you're eating sushi, the next thing, they're actually lightsaber fighting next to you. Now, that is good. And now, another round of Richer or Poorer. We did this earlier on... Oh, what's occurring? Basically, I've got a list here from the Sunday Times Rich List, which is out the other day, of really rich people. All you got to do is tell me if they're richer or poorer than the last person I mentioned. Carol stormed you earlier. Our contestant know what's occurring.
Aha. Now, but since then, someone's been on the text saying, Becky, you're an idiot. You should know how these games work. It always goes richer, poorer, richer, poorer, richer, poorer. So that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. So you just tell me if they're richer or poorer than the last person. Play along on the text 81199. We start with JK Rowling off of Harry Potter. She has £519. We've changed it now. It is actually 519 million. That was a typo.
Oh, if only I could give myself that much money just by saying, oh, mistake.
519 million has JK Rowling. The next one on your list, Paul McCartney off the Beatles. Is he richer or poorer than JK Rowling? Paul
that
McCartney, he invented pop music. Kind of.
Poorer?
Paul McCartney off the Beatles is poorer than someone who wrote Harry Potter.
Yes.
You wrote all those songs.
I know, yeah, but I think she's got rights to the films and all that sort of stuff as well.
You'd be right to say poorer.
Yes.
Paul McCartney, only worth a paltry £475 million.
Well, there wasn't much in it.
In your face, McCartney. Oh, sorry, he's a sir. I can't really say that, can I? Are you allowed to say in your face to a sir? No, all right, sorry. Did they cut your head off for that? Or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Next, the Queen. Richer or poorer than actual Paul McCartney? The Queen.
Richer.
No. She's poorer than Paul McCartney.
Oh.
She's only got 290 million. Next, Duncan Bannatyne off Dragon's Den. Richer or poorer than the Queen?
Poorer than the Queen.
Poorer than the Queen. You think?
Yeah.
So one of the dragons, poorer than the Queen of England.
Mm.
No, he's richer.
Richer than the Queen?
Yeah, he's got
Why is he doing Dragon's Den? He doesn't need the money.
320 million, Valentine.
Love it that he's doing it out of the kindness of his heart to help entrepreneurs.
Westlife are next. Are they richer or poorer than the dragon Duncan Bannatyne?
Poorer.
So one of the blokes that sits there going, I'm out, is poorer than the band that brought us such hits as Flying Without Wings. And Mandy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
31 million. Is that between them? God, that's rubbish. How much is that each? Do the maths.
Four now. Does Brian still get some or not?
I don't know.
He must get a little bit. But he can't get much because he's now doing like Australian Idol or whatever, isn't he?
Australia's Got Talent.
Yeah. It's about 7 million each, is it?
Next, Daniel Radcliffe off Harry Potter, richer or poorer than Westlife?
He's got 42 million, because I heard that earlier today.
So he is?
He is poorer. I know this one anyway, because I heard it earlier. So he's got 42 million.
Westlife have got 31 million.
Yeah, so he's poorer than... No, he's... No. Crud! I even knew it and I got it wrong.
Good use of crud.
Bringing back 92.
42 million has Daniel Radcliffe off Harry Potter. Have that, Westlife. I enjoy this game very much. There's so many different variations of it we could do as well.
There's so many opportunities for me to mess up.
Yeah. And that was Richer or Poorer. Thanks for playing along. Cheers.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.